Good morning, Hope Church. How's everybody doing? Good, good. I need to let you know what Alan just said to me as he walked off the stage, okay? I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. I will admit that. And he said, you need to preach better than your Packers played last night. So thank you for the encouragement as you left the stage this morning. My name is Pastor Zach. I get the privilege of being our worship pastor here and our student pastor. And I love what I get to do here, and I'm thankful that Jim allowed me to speak today while he is in Costa Rica with Aaron. And today we're going to be in the story. If you actually have your storybooks with you today, you can open to chapter 3. So I know some of you bring those with you to church. If you're at home, turn to chapter 3 with us. We're going to dive into that. And the story is what we're going through for 31 weeks this year. And what the story is, it's an abridged version. It's really a shortened version of the Bible that reads like a novel. So it's something that a church can do in 31 weeks, where if you went through the whole Bible verse by verse, it would take many, many years. And last week, Pastor Jim took us through chapter 2. And chapter 2 is the whole life of Abraham. And God told Abraham, he said, I will bless all nations through you. Then Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had Jacob and Esau. And Jacob had 12 sons, one of them being Joseph. And Joseph is where we pick up today. When you are in chapter 3 of the story, that's where the life of Joseph sits. It's Genesis 37 through Genesis chapter 50. Question as we get started, how many people here have seen the new Spider-Man movie? Go ahead, raise your hand. If you're at home, you can raise your hand. I can't see it, but it's okay. Awesome. So a lot of people in here have seen the new Spider-Man movie. I was able to go see that. Actually, Christmas night, I got to go see it. Grant, you still got your hand up. You have a question? It's like youth group all over again. The kid, middle of the...
I got distracted.
Oh, it's okay. I'm actually used to that. That's every kind of youth group time is there's hands up during the sermon time. But I got to go see Spider-Man on Christmas night with my nephew. And when I came home, all I wanted to do was talk about it. I texted the friends that I knew that had seen it, but I couldn't talk to my wife about it. And she told me up front, she said, do not spoil it for me. I want to watch it later. I plan on seeing it. Do not spoil the movie for me. And today, no spoilers. No, I'm not going to talk about it. It's okay. I'm not going to say anything. Spider-Man's in it. I mean, that's all I got. But what I want to do this morning is actually spoil the story of Joseph for you and start at the end or towards the end, the last part of Joseph's story. And it's going to be Genesis 50 verse 20, and it's page 42 of your storybooks. And here's what it says. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. That's the last part of Joseph's life. His brothers intended to harm him. They hated him. They wanted him dead. But God uses that. God uses their hatred and what they did to him to ultimately save them and their family. And just like Jim had talked about Abraham last week and how God would bless all nations through Abraham, we get to see that in the life of Joseph through this redemptive work. And one person put it this way, that the Bible has two stories happening at all time. Anytime you're reading through Scripture, there's two stories happening. There's an upper story and there's a lower story. And the upper story is God's bigger plan. It's His overall purpose for your life and for my life. The lower story is our daily lives, kind of the grind, our decisions, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the same person said this, he said, what the brothers did was wrong, but God used their sin and jealousy to accomplish His overall purpose, His upper story. God uses our lower story. God uses some of the mess that we have down here to accomplish His purposes. Have you ever seen God use something that's just terrible for a good thing? Have you ever seen God redeem something or maybe someone in a way that you could have never imagined? I mean, think we probably all have that person in our lives where we've thought, I just don't know if the Lord could reach them. I don't know if they would listen, and then God does it. and they come to the Lord. So now that we know how it ends, not Spider-Man, I didn't tell you anything about Spider-Man, but we know the last part of Joseph's life. How did he get there? Genesis 37, 3 through 8, and this won't be in the storybooks, this is right before the story picks up. It says, now Jacob, or Israel, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age. And he had made an ornate, which is a word for decorated or embellished or adorned robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Anybody in here willing to admit you're the favorite sibling? Rachel, I want to see. Okay. There's some hands up. I'm waiting to see in this face. I'm looking at some of my students just to see. Titus, you're the favorite? Yeah. Riley's the favorite. It's Walt. See, I got everybody fighting now. I'm sorry. Does anybody want to admit they're the least favorite? I mean, you're like, yeah, that's just probably not me. Like, I didn't make it. I know my mom's watching right now. I know that I don't think my mom liked my brother or me when we were in junior high and high school. I'm not going to lie. I think she had two least favorites and there was no other options. Anybody want to admit, is anyone here the favorite parent? Does anybody know if they're the favorite parent or not? I got a couple people, hands are getting raised. So I found out the other day, it was about a week ago. What's funny is I actually wrote this portion of the sermon, and then it happened a second time. But I found out that I'm the least favorite parent the other day, okay? We have two kids. Oliver will turn 4 next month, and Piper is 15 months. And Piper was sleeping in her crib, and she had woken up, and she had cried for about 15 minutes. And I knew at that point, she's not going to get herself back to sleep. We're not sleeping because she's in there crying. I'm going to go in, and I'm going to rock her back to sleep, lay her down. It will all be good. And there's this moment when I opened the door and took a step in, the moment she saw who it was, she screamed. She goes, ah, boom, and just lays down. Didn't cry anymore. Mom's not here. No, I'm not doing this. And I realized in that moment I was not the favorite parent. And then it happened 2 nights later again. And there's a saying that Kelsey uses. She says, it's hard being the favorite. That's what she says. She rubs that in my face. It's hard being the favorite. And I think that is something Joseph understood. It was hard being the favorite son. We pick up in verse 5 of Genesis 37 still. And Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of the dream and what he had said. So we know how the story begins. We know there's he's the favorite. The coat happens. I mean, the dad literally gives him something that says, I love you more, right? We know that he has dreams that he, for whatever reason, decides to tell his brothers and they hate him. And we know how the story ends in Genesis 50. God uses it to save them. But how did we get there? How did God turn the hatred and the evil and just the mess of what was going on into this story of redemption? And it starts in the pit. And if you have your storybooks, we're going to be on page 29 here. So Joseph is on his way to check on his brothers. He cares about them. He loves them. He's going out to check on them. And in Genesis 37, 19 through 24, here's what it says. Here comes that dreamer. Remember, he had dreams that they would someday bow down to him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. And then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Those dreams really made him mad. Verse 21, when Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. Let's not take his life, he said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him. Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe. And it gives this detail, the ornate robe he was wearing. Verse 24. And they took him and they threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him. That they allowed their jealousy, they allowed their anger, they allowed their emotion to really manifest itself into this moment now that they are ready to murder and to get rid of their brother. But Reuben halts the plan, throws him in a pit instead. And then they decide, well, that's not going to work either because the blood is still on our hands. So they decide to sell Joseph into slavery. They pawn him off. They say, you know what? You're not good enough for the family. You're not good enough to be here. And they just get rid of him. And what they do, it gives these details in Genesis 37. They take the coat that he had, the one that they were so mad about, and they shredded it. They killed an animal, and they covered the coat in blood, and they took it back and handed it to their father, Jacob. And they said, I think this is your son's. We found this. And that is what happens to Joseph there. And then through the slavery, he ends up in Egypt at Potiphar's house. Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 2, page 31 in your storybook. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. There's lots of stuff going on here, lots of details, but verse 2 tells us one thing. It tells us where God was. It says, the Lord was with Joseph. I think this is one of the best things that we can hear today. The Lord was with Joseph. And I know when things are hard in my life, that's a question I ask. Where is God? That's a question a lot of us ask, is where is God in our trials, in our tribulations, when we face adversity, when things don't go our way? And what we know from Scripture is that God literally in the trial is with us. He's moving, he's redeeming, he's orchestrating. Remember, there's an upper story and there's a lower story. And God is always taking our lower story and working it into his upper story. There's a quote here from Max Lucado. He has a sermon series on the life of Joseph. And here's what he says. He says, you'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. But God will use this mess for good. Did you hear that? God will use this mess for good. In the meantime, don't be foolish, don't be naive, and don't despair either. With God's help, you will get through this. We know the Lord was with Joseph, and I know right now the Lord is with you. Whatever may be going on, I mean, obviously all of us are dealing with COVID. All of us have stuff like that going on. We're quarantined. We're stuck at home for 5 days or 10 days. We can't go to work here. We can't do this with friends. But all of us have stuff going on in our lives. And what I know is that the Lord is with you. And so Potiphar, he actually puts Joseph in charge of his household because the Lord was with him. He blessed him. But then Potiphar's wife decides to cross the line. And everything in Potiphar's household was Joseph except for his wife. And when she comes after Joseph one day, he says, no, I cannot do this to the Lord, and I cannot do this to my master Potiphar. And he turns to run, and she takes his cloak off. She takes his jacket, his shirt, whatever you want to call that. She takes it off of him, and she's so mad in this moment. She walks out to Potiphar, and she says, that young Hebrew boy you have, that man in there, he tried to come and take advantage of me. And so Joseph is immediately thrown in prison. No questions, nothing. Potiphar gave him nothing. He immediately threw him into prison. And even when Joseph was faithful, he still experienced adversity and hardship. Yet, from what we see in this story, Joseph remained faithful and God remained faithful. So we've seen Joseph in the pit. Then he goes to Potiphar's house, and now he is in prison. Genesis 39, 21 and 22. And this is page 32 in your books. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. Let's pause there just for a second. This detail is added again. While he was in prison, the Lord was with him. And it says, he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all of those held in the prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. Two things, again, and I've mentioned it, the Lord was with him. I love that because it shows where God is in our hard times. And I also love when he's in Potiphar's house, he's put in charge of everything. When he's in prison, he's put in charge of everything. God's favor was with him. And now he ends up in the fourth place that we're going to visit this morning, which is the palace. Joseph spent multiple years in prison, and at some point, Pharaoh begins to have these dreams. And he has a dream that he cannot figure out. And he goes to the magicians, he goes to all these different people, and they cannot interpret the dream for him. And someone says, hey, there's a guy sitting in prison who can actually interpret that dream for you. So Joseph is brought out and he's brought into the palace and he tells Pharaoh, the dream that you're having is that there will be 7 years of plenty. 7 years where crops will grow, we'll plant, we'll have harvest, we'll have everything we need. But then there'll be 7 years where that's not going to happen. 7 years of famine will follow. And here's kind of the dialogue here between Joseph and Pharaoh in the palace. Genesis 41, 39 through 40, page 33 in your books. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all of this known to you, there is no one so discerning and as wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. And as you read through the next couple chapters, is Joseph's brothers at some point get hungry. Their family gets hungry. And guess where they go to get food? They travel to Egypt. And when they show up, they don't recognize Joseph. He's much different now. He's grown. He speaks a different language, dresses differently. But he recognizes all of his brothers that show up, and he stays quiet about it, and he kind of lets this play out. We see through multiple chapters, there's dialogue between them and different things that happen. And finally, Joseph breaks down and tells them who he is. They understand that the dream that Joseph had back in Genesis 37 was now happening to them. And when he makes himself known, we hear from Pharaoh. This is in Genesis 45, 16 through 18. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all of his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, do this. Load your animals and return to the land of Canaan and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt and you can enjoy the fat of the land. See, at the end of the day, God had a plan. At the end of the day, there was an upper story happening that Joseph didn't know about, that Jacob didn't know about, that the brothers didn't know about, but God had a plan. And for Joseph, it took 22 years from the day he had his dream to the day his brothers showed up to get grain. 22 years he went from the pit into Potiphar's house, into prison, and now in the palace for this to come true. And I know for me, I've never experienced 22 years of what Joseph went through, the things that he dealt with. I've never experienced those things. But I can tell you, we've gone through some hard things, my wife and I and our family. And a couple of years ago, and some of you know our story, especially our students, back in 2017, I was let go by the church that I was working at. And 3 years of working, 3 years of investing, 3 years of relationships that were built there ended in a moment, and we were no longer at that church. So lose a job, lose a church, and we're still trying to follow God. At the moment, Kelsey was pregnant. So we move. This is what you're supposed to do when you're having your first child. We move 8 hours away from Kelsey's family that's here. And we moved to the state of Illinois, which is actually 5 hours from my family. So we were 8 one way, 5 the other way. And then 11 months later, we moved back to Arkansas. And for us, there was so much going on mentally and spiritually and the things that we were struggling with and the question of, where's God? Why did the job end? Why are we pregnant during all of this? Why did this happen during that? Why did God tell me to take our family to Illinois 11 months later for my wife to say, hey, we have to go back to Arkansas. It's not going to work out here for me. That's what we were going through. And when we got back, we had the privilege of living in her parents' basement for 6 months. Some of you have got to experience that before. And then there was a year that I spent out of ministry. I think it was 362 days that I was out of ministry. And for someone who I feel like my calling in life is to be in ministry, I feel like my calling in life is to share the gospel with students and to spend time with students and the worship team, and to not have that. And I did some substitute teaching, and I worked at State Farm. I was Zach from State Farm, had a pair of khakis and a red polo. Yeah. I tried to get a commercial with Aaron Rodgers, but it didn't work out for me. But being fired, moving away from family, spending a year out of my calling, out of where I felt God had called me to be and wanted me to be, we felt lost. We felt kind of like Joseph going through the pit and then Potiphar in the prison. It was just a slew of hard times that were back to back to back, that were chained together. It was just like a punch to the gut when all we wanted was to be in the palace. And not physically, not riches, but to have God's really his provision and peace in that moment. And we felt like we just weren't there. And for us, we didn't have, you know, physical bars around us like Joseph, who spent a couple of years in prison. But mentally, emotionally, we just felt trapped at this time. And we asked a lot of questions. And the cool thing is, as little did we know, you know, God was, this upper story was working. And while we were down here, the good, the bad, the ugly, the mess of our lives and the struggles we were going through, God was moving. And there was a church in Bentonville, Arkansas, and a lot of you know how the story ends. But they did a church plant, and they would need a worship pastor, and they would need a student pastor in 2019. And that ended up being our palace moment. If we hadn't been let go by that church, if we hadn't experienced some of the things moving and coming back and all of that, we got to see God's provision at the end of the day. A church that we love, a job that I love, and a place that we call home in Northwest Arkansas where my wife's parents are. And best of all, the best youth group in the state of Arkansas right here. Come on now. Yeah. And for us, that was the story of Joseph for us, dealing with hardship after hardship after hardship after hardship. And really a question today is, what does the life of Joseph mean for you? What does it look like for you right now, sitting in this room, sitting at home, watching online, driving, wherever you're at right now listening to this? And there's a couple things I want to recall what Pastor Jim mentioned last week. With Abraham, God had told him, I will bless all nations through you, through your son. 25 years for God to fulfill that promise. 25 years. This morning, Joseph, 22 years from the dream to when his brothers show up in Egypt. And if there's one thing you hear today, I want you to hear this. God's upper story is so much greater than our pits, our Potiphar's, and our prisons. Whatever hardship it is, whatever trial it is, whatever adversity it is, God's upper story is so much bigger, and he's weaving our stories into his. And most of the time during the trial, when you're in the valley, when you're in the grind, you don't get to see it. It's days, it's weeks, it's months, it's years later that we get to see what God was doing that entire time. And for Joseph, the 22 years he spent, then after that, it tells us he spent 71 years with his family in peace and prosperity. 22 years of waiting, 22 years of the lower story, the good, the bad, the ugly, to experience the palace moment and the provision of God. As we get close to closing today, I want to go ahead and invite the band to come on back up here. And I think for all of us, something to think through is at some point in life, we will experience one of these four places multiple times. And maybe it's us being rejected and pawned off like Joseph in the pit. We've experienced that, or we're going to experience that. And maybe we're doing all the right things, yet there's a false accusation, or there's a lie that just ruins a good thing that's happening in our lives. Maybe we feel like we've been forgotten, like Joseph in prison. Part of that story that we didn't get to mention earlier is that there were two people in the prison with him, and when they left, Joseph said, "Remember me." They left and forgot him. He was in there for multiple years. And today I want to encourage you, man, if you're going through a hard time right now, if you're in the building, you're at home, there is hope. There's a palace that's coming. And there's an earthly one. There's moments you're going to experience here. And there's also a heavenly one that we get to have through the grace of God. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And what I want to do, I want to take a moment to just reflect with you guys. You're welcome to even just close your eyes or just kind of look down and just take a moment. And I'm going to ask just a couple questions for us to just reflect on together. And I want you to take a moment and think about how God can use your lower story, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to fulfill his upper story. How much time do you spend focusing on the worries and the troubles of this life instead of focusing on the upper story in the kingdom? You know, Paul talks about in Colossians, he says to think of heavenly things. Think of heavenly things. How can God use your current difficulty for his kingdom purposes? We know how he used Joseph's. We know that years and years later, we're still studying this together. Joseph was rejected, falsely accused, and forgotten. Yet God used his story. God is still using his story. And how can God use your story? And let's remember the verse that we opened with, Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And just like God sent Joseph before the family, for us today, God sent Jesus before us in order to save us. Just like Joseph before his family, the Lord sent Jesus before us. Here's John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The same with Joseph was the same with Jesus. He was sent before to save the many. And Jesus had a lower story. Jesus experienced the good, the bad, the ugly. Jesus was hated and spit on and ultimately put on the cross. And the intent of the cross is just like Genesis 50 with the brothers. The intention was to harm, but God took the cross and he used it for good. The saving of many lives. And today, if you're someone that's in the building, you're watching online, and you follow Jesus, you're a part of this. You're a part of this hope. You're a part of this salvation. But if you're someone here today that hasn't made that choice, that hasn't made that step, that is not a part of that upper story yet of redemption, I invite you to take that step. And we're going to sing a song here in a moment that's one of my favorite songs of all time, literally just talking about and really telling our souls to just praise God. And so I pray that this song is a time for you to reflect, a time for you to think through your story and God's story and his redemptive work through Joseph and his redemptive work through the cross. Will you guys go ahead and pray with me? God, we worship you right now. God, we thank you for who you are. And Lord, I thank you for the life of Joseph. I can't imagine what it was like to be him, to be in his shoes and to experience what he experienced. But we know that through it all, we are told by your word that you were with him in all of that. God, you blessed him in all of that. And his hardship ended up being the salvation for his family. And I wonder if that's the same story for some of us. Are there things that we're going to go through or that we are going through? And you're going to use that, God. You're going to take that moment, that thing, that pit, that Potiphar, that prison, that hardship, and you're going to use that to save a coworker, to save a friend at school. God, to bring redemption to a whole family. Lord, that's what I pray. I pray that you take all the good, the bad, the ugly, like Max Lucado said, the mess, Lord. And I pray that for everyone in this room, that you take our mess. God, take my mess. And Lord, redeem it and make it something good. Make it something beautiful that will show others who you are and show your grace. God, we love you this morning, and we want to come to this final song just in a manner of praise, in a manner of thinking about our story, the lower story, and your upper story, Lord. Help us to reflect on that right now as we sing to you. And it's in Jesus' holy name that I pray. Amen. You guys go ahead and stand as we sing our final song this morning.